Primo Leadership by Daniel Goleman, Richard Boyatzis, and Annie McKee. Concluded. Cassette 7, Side 1. She understood the importance of looking broadly at the business's underlying culture and how it supported or inhibited leadership. That is a dramatic difference from most development programs, which begin and end with the individual. Linda Pitari began with a keen sense of what the pivotal norms were in the culture and set about exploring which of those were actually helpful to a new kind of leadership and which got in the way. Using the process of dynamic inquiry that we discussed in Chapter 10, she and her team interviewed key leaders to get a sense of the cultural box they lived in. In essence, they asked, "What's allowed here? What behaviors and values were expected? Which management styles were smiled upon and which panned? Which competencies were developed and which ignored?" But that was just a start. Pitari and her team also began to peel back the onion, looking for root issues and the deep-seated reasons why people succeeded or failed in the context of the culture. They explored the depth of commitment to core principles and why leaders behaved the way they did. And they asked people about the leadership of the company and what was and wasn't working, a key to understanding how to position leadership development later on. Armed with this information, the team was able to see which aspects of the culture were hampering leadership effectiveness and which habitual leadership practices needed to change. They could also see what they needed to preserve. For example, in the company, which after all was grounded on relationship building with clients, people relied on the affiliative leadership style. The warm relationships that managers established with their direct reports were powerful drivers of loyalty and dedication, resulting in lifelong commitment, hard work, and strong, trusting relationships. That affiliative style also meant, however, that these managers hesitated to expose areas where people needed to improve, and it made real coaching difficult to pull off. Although managers tried to compensate by using elaborate performance management systems and holding people accountable for the numbers, often people would still go for years without receiving direct feedback about how to improve or develop themselves for the next step. Using the dynamic inquiry process as a foundation, as well as a thorough review of individuals who were seemingly very effective in this new environment, Pitari's team was able to construct an agenda for leadership development that was designed to counteract some of the old culture, while supporting the values, norms, and systems that were positive and helpful to new leaders. They identified skills and competencies that people would need to develop, such as how to give and receive developmental feedback, how to achieve the right balance of good judgment and risk-taking, how to foster innovation, and how to manage an increasingly diverse workforce. They also identified areas of business acumen that needed enhancing. Today, several years after Pitari and her team initiated this leadership development process at the Merrill Lynch business, 40% of the people who participated in the process have been promoted and are in significantly more responsible positions than they were a few years ago. Perhaps more important, the change effort focused the top level's attention on management, leadership, and cultural practices that really needed to change, and they have continued the work. Succession planning is now more systematic, with more attention paid to those individuals who exemplify leaders of the future. By understanding that the initiative would have to do double duty, exemplifying the individual change model while also working on cultural issues, Pitari's team crafted a process that changed both the culture and the lives of individuals who worked in the company every day. Maximizing the half-life of learning. In sum, the best leadership programs are designed for culture, competencies, and even spirit. They adhere to the principles of self-directed change and use a multifaceted approach to the learning and development process itself that focuses on the individual, team, and organization. Excellent processes include the following elements: a tie-in to the culture and sometimes culture change in an organization, seminars built around the philosophy and practice of individual change, relevant learning about emotional intelligence competencies, not just business acumen, creative and potent learning experiences with a purpose, relationships that support learning, such as learning teams and executive coaching. We look at developing leaders in terms of maximizing the half-life of learning. The idea is to develop a process that has stickiness so that there is continuing learning. In the best processes, people have learned how to learn and are focused in a new and sustained way on reaching for their dreams together. They have a roadmap that makes sense to them, and the roadmap is as good a guide in their current job as it will be in the next one. It has been drawn with the person's values, beliefs, hopes, and dreams as the backdrop. Competency development for any given job is just a piece of it. The real issue is ensuring that a development process leaves its mark on people, the culture, and the systems that support change, development, and effective norms. And one payoff should be continuous learning and an enhanced capacity for change. People can and will change when they find a good reason to do so. Leadership change takes people to the point of understanding what they want to change and how. In order for this kind of learning to have a lasting impact on an organization, one needs to go beyond the individual and think about what needs to happen in groups and in the organization at large that will encourage the development of EI leaders. Toward resonant work and resonant lives. As our journey ends, we want to look into the future and expand the implications of what we have said thus far. First, consider our argument. We make the case that emotions matter enormously for leadership, that primal leadership is a crucial dimension, one that largely determines whether a leader's other efforts take off or go awry. We've reviewed the underlying neurology, particularly the open loop for emotions, that makes creating resonance the primal task for any leader. We've shown that emotional intelligence offers the essential competencies for resonant leadership, and that these abilities can be cultivated and strengthened, both for the individual and for an entire team. Such resonant leadership can be distributed throughout an entire organization. And, as ample data demonstrate, there are hard payoffs in organizational effectiveness and business performance. We've done more than just offer a new theory of leadership. We've gotten down to the question, how can I act on this Monday morning? The first practical application comes in upgrading a leader's EI abilities. We've outlined the steps that our research has shown lead to lasting improvements in the crucial EI competencies for leadership. Then we turned to how to make a group, team, or entire organization more resonant. Raising the collective emotional intelligence of an entire group can have far greater business impact than cultivating it only in a given individual within that group. But doing so demands an astute leader who understands how to take the emotional pulse of the group and transform the norms or culture in the right direction. And finally, organizations themselves can become incubators for resonant leadership, thus making a crucial difference for those who work there and for the bottom line. Now more than ever. Why does all this matter so much, not just today, but going into the future? Leaders everywhere confront a set of irrevocable imperatives, changing realities driven by profound social, political, economic, and technological changes. Our world, not to mention the business world, is in the midst of transformational change, calling for new leadership. In our businesses, we face continual increases in computing power, the spread of e-commerce, the rapid diversification of the workforce, the globalization of the economy, and the relentless ratcheting upward of the pace of business, all at an ever-accelerating rate of change. These business realities make primal leadership ever more crucial. Consider, for instance, the implications of the fact that so many business strategies viable today will be irrelevant tomorrow. Half the business models won't work in 2 to 5 years' time, the CEO of an information services company lamented. In our case, we now sell information that may be available free on the internet in a few years. so our focus has to be finding new ways to market our information. And as an investment banker put it, most companies perish while their management is frozen with terror. Whether a company proves nimble enough to survive tomorrow's surprises depends to a large extent on whether its leaders, particularly the top team, have the ability to manage their own emotions in the face of drastic change. As market share erodes or profits plummet, leaders can panic, their fears fueling denial, the futile ruse that everything is fine, or poorly conceived knee-jerk solutions. They can turn, for example, to cost-cutting measures that focus on the people cheapest to lose rather than those vital to retain. Anxiety debilitates the brain's ability to understand and respond. When fear cripples leaders' decision-making, an entire organization can crash and burn. Emotionally intelligent leaders know how to manage their disruptive emotions so that they can keep their focus, thinking clearly under pressure. They do not wait for crisis to catalyze a needed change. They stay flexible, adapting to new realities ahead of the pack, rather than just reacting to the crisis of the day. Even in the midst of vast changes, they can see their way to a brighter future, communicate that vision with resonance, and lead the way. Consider, too, how companies that once did well enough by being among the best in a small market niche now find that their competitors come from around the world. As more and more businesses find themselves fighting it out in global markets, the standards for a leader's performance are changing. Where results at a given level might have made a company best in class for its industry in one region or country, the global reality means that to be among the best now demands a world-class performance. And that demand drives a need for the resonance that spawns continuous improvement, not just in a leader, but in the whole organization. Excellence redefined. There's another reason primal leadership will matter more going into the future. The old model of leadership had a functional focus, one without regard to the emotional or personal dimension. People were seen as interchangeable parts. Such impersonal leadership increasingly fails today. Resonant leaders shatter the old leadership mold that was cast in the image of the captains of industry, those old-fashioned lead-from-the-top figures of authority who led largely by virtue of the power of their position. Increasingly, the best of breed lead not by virtue of power alone, but by excelling in the art of relationship, the singular expertise that the changing business climate renders indispensable. Leadership excellence is being redefined in interpersonal terms as companies strip out layers of managers, as corporations merge across national boundaries, and as customers and suppliers redefine the web of connection. Resonant leaders know when to be collaborative and when to be visionary, when to listen and when to command. Such leaders have a knack for attuning to their own sense of what matters and articulating a mission that resonates with the values of those they lead. These leaders naturally nurture relationships, surface simmering issues, and create the human synergies of a group in harmony. They build a fierce loyalty by caring about the careers of those who work for them and inspire people to give their best for a mission that speaks to shared values. An emotionally intelligent leader does each of these at the right time, in the right way, with the right person. Such leadership creates a climate of enthusiasm and flexibility, one where people feel invited to be at their most innovative, where they give their best. And such a working climate, given today's business realities, creates added value through the essential human ingredients for organizational performance. Such leaders are more values-driven, more flexible and informal, and more open and frank than leaders of old. They are more connected to people and to networks. Most especially, they exude resonance. They have genuine passion for their mission, and that passion is contagious. Their enthusiasm and excitement spread spontaneously, invigorating those they lead. And resonance is the key to primal leadership. This concludes the reading of Primal Leadership, Realizing the Power of Emotional Intelligence by Daniel Goleman, Richard Boyatzis, and Annie McKee. Copyright 2002 by Daniel Goleman. This full-length reading was published by arrangement with Audio Renaissance, a division of Holtzbrinck Publishers, LLC, and was produced in 2002 by Books on Tape, Incorporated, which holds the copyright thereto. This book was read by Barrett Whitener.